Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
This morning, I just want to take a few minutes to share with you today, really less of a teaching, and really today more just sharing my heart in some of what I'm seeing and hearing for us as a church as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit into the new year. Is that okay? I want to begin to just by telling you too that in January, the beginning of January, we are going to do an all church fast again. 21 days, baby. We're going to fast and we're going to position our hearts for more of the Lord. This time we're going to encourage you to fast in several different ways, but really it's going to be everyone's choice how they fast. We did the Daniel fast last year and you can certainly do the Daniel fast again, but we're going to share some more of those kind of options. But we're just going to join together to position our hearts to cry out for more of the Lord and to align ourselves with what he's doing. We never could have imagined in January of 2020 what the year would bring. But I believe that our fast has been a part of sustaining us and positioning us to be able to fully do what God wants us to do in this year in the midst of what we faced. These last 9 months have brought us so much change. There's been so much change that's happened around us. So much has shifted in the way that we do so many things in our lives. But I am here to declare to you with great joy that one thing has not changed, and that's the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. That what he's called us to do, what he's called us to be, has not changed because of the coronavirus. It has not changed because of an election. It has not changed because of any other unrest or pressure in the land, that we actually have a mandate from our King to join him in what he's doing on the earth. And I don't know about you, but my heart is set on joining him in what he's doing on the earth. My heart is just set on us as a church, joining him in what he's doing. And I can tell you this, that even in this crazy, wacko season that we've been in, that I have never been more filled with hope and anticipation in what God has for his church and his people than I am right now. And that's the truth. That's not just like pastor language. That's actually the truth. I am filled with anticipation because the shaking that has been taking place and is taking place, I believe this, is bringing an acceleration upon the church to be what he's always intended the church to be. I believe that this literally is going to be used by God to accelerate the church to become what the church was meant to be. And I fully believe that we will be all that Jesus paid for us to be and express that in the earth. I fully believe that we are going to become the dream in his heart for the church to be on the earth as we pursue him. And I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it for us as a church. I'm committed to it for my own life and my family. I want to encourage you today that you're alive for this moment, that he knew that you would be alive in the year 2020. He is not surprised by that. When he saw you in your mother's womb and he spoke you into existence, he knew what he was doing in sending you here today. He knew that you would be alive for this exact moment in time, and he has everything that you need to walk out everything that you're called to walk out in. Everything that you need. He was putting you here because he wanted you here for this time, because the world needed you here in 2020. I want to say that again. He put you here. You're breathing here. You're alive today. Your lungs are filling up with air. You're exhaling because he knew that he wanted you here in this year, in this day, in this time to fulfill the purposes on your life. Turn to somebody, say, you're supposed to be here. Come on, do it. Turn to the other one. Tell him, you're supposed to be here. I want to remind us this morning as we begin as a church, I know it's Christmas, but Christmas really points to the purpose for Jesus coming. And I want to just remind us that our context really for everything as believers, our context, our framework for all of life is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That on that resurrection morning, that first day of the week when Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the dead, and he appeared to Mary, and he appeared to the disciples as they were locked up behind closed doors in a room, afraid. I want to remind you this morning what he said to them when he appeared to them out of John chapter 20, verse 19. And this is what he said. He said, "Peace be with you." He said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. And he said those words again. He said, "Peace be with you." And that line, "Peace be with you," is not just a greeting, church. "Peace be with you" is a powerful proclamation and announcement of what had just happened because of the achievement of the cross. He was saying, "Peace be with you, new creation has begun. Peace be with you, new creation has begun." That because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, peace is the result. How many are thankful that peace is the result? The limitations of the old world in this moment are no more the limitations of new creation. And then out of his mouth, after he speaks peace to them, out of his mouth in one sentence comes a commission, comes a mandate that changes everything, that stands at the top of all of our Christian witness and our Christian vision. He gives the lens from which to see our very reason for breathing today. And he says this, he says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Church, can you feel the significance of this for us today? As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Not just the disciples in that room that day. This is an announcement that he is making to every single human being that will believe. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. How he was sent, now we are sent. How he was sent, now we are sent to continue what he started on the earth. We could say it like this, church. Get this. We get to be a part of implementing what he achieved through his death and resurrection. We get to be a part of implementing what he achieved through his death and through his resurrection. But we won't do it in the power of our own strength or our own might. Jesus is saying, "You will follow me in shaping the world in the power of the Spirit. You're going to follow me in shaping the world. I'm sending you the way that I was sent, but you're going to do it in the power of the Spirit. You're going to need the Holy Spirit." Think about this. It was like he was saying, "You're going to need Jesus' breath. You're going to need my breath upon you. You're going to need God's breath upon you. You could never do what you're going to do without the Spirit of God upon your life." As they were singing that song today, "Fire and wind, come and do it again. Bring heaven on in. Come and rest upon us," right? I was thinking how interesting it is in Genesis chapter 2, at the very beginning, the beginning of mankind, that God breathed into human nostrils the breath of life, and humankind came to life. And now, in this moment, as the new creation begins in the resurrection of Jesus, in this moment, hear this, this is really important. The restoring life of God is now breathed out through Jesus on the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. The beginning in Genesis, he breathed on them. And the beginning of new creation, when everything changed, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Just how the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he says it to us today, church. He says that. That whether you're running your business or you're teaching a class or you're performing surgery in an operating room or you're building a fence or you're preaching a sermon or you're running a coffee shop, as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us full of the Holy Spirit. I feel like as I share this today, we've talked about these things before, but I feel like I'm at the beginning of the beginning again. As we look at the church and what we're to be and all that we've gone through in the last year, church, I feel like my heart is opening up again because I'm longing for us to be the expression that he wants us to be. I'm longing for this in my heart. And we don't get to just follow him any way we want. We aren't sent any way we want. Jesus is sending us as the Father sent him. So we have to give our attention to how Jesus was sent. We have to give our learning to how Jesus was sent, because what he did is what we get to do, and how he did it is how we get to do it, and we get to learn and search this out. It's called being a disciple of Jesus. So we can join him in implementing what he paid for. Isn't that powerful? Implementing what he paid for on earth as it is in heaven. How many want to be a part of this? Okay, like five. How many want to be a part of this? Thank you, Elisa. Yeah, how many want to be a part of implementing what he paid for? It's what we're called to be as a church. See, we're not called to just sit in a chair on a Sunday morning alone. We're called to implement what he paid for. We're called to bring what he paid for to the world around us. And I just want to share, just like I said, this is just kind of some big strokes today, because I feel like there are moments where we need to be reminded about who we are. Especially when we've kind of walked through difficult times, we need to be reminded who we are as the church. And there are three words that I believe the Lord gave me a while back that I want to share with you today that really just kind of help express where I see us going in the next year. And that first word is encounter. Can you say that out loud with me? Encounter. The Gospels are filled. They're packed with encounters that people had with Jesus that changed everything. How many know that an encounter with Jesus changes everything? I mean, I think about my own life. I think about hundreds of people around me. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. All through the Gospels, we see healing. We see deliverance. We see shame and guilt being broken off of people. We see freedom breaking in. We see healing and deliverance and people getting set free from demonic oppressions. The captive set free. We see supernatural miracles of all kinds. We see the blind seeing, the crippled walking, the dead being raised. Encounters with Jesus made wrong things right. Every single time, he destroyed the works of darkness as he released the goodness of God through supernatural ministry. This was a significant part of his assignment. It was a significant part of how the Father sent him. And Jesus, in doing all of those things, was modeling for us. He was modeling for every believer what was possible for us to do. He was modeling who we were to be as he did these things. You think about this. Everything Jesus did was an invitation for us to do. Isn't that amazing? Everything that Jesus did was an invitation for us to do. Like sometimes I think we think like, oh, that was Jesus. He did this, he did that, he did all this. Everything that he did was an invitation for his church to do. Everything. The book of Acts is filled with what's available for the church. It's filled with the Holy Spirit, encounters throughout, supernatural experiences. The church begins with a wild prayer meeting with fire and wind. Come and do it again. Open up our hearts, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Do you have a vision for that? I do. My heart burns. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up our hearts. Let heaven come on in and rest on us. What would it look like for the Spirit of God to rest upon the church in a powerful way? I believe that's called revival. That's a word I don't even use anymore because it became so many things. But I believe revival is really the awakening of things that were dead and causing them to live. It's all things becoming new. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up my heart and let heaven on in and rest on me so that I can be sent in the way that you were sent, Jesus. So that I can be a part of implementing what it is that you paid for on the cross. We see this in Acts 2. Holy Spirit empowered 120 to prophesy. It says they were declaring the wonders of God. And when I look at what we are to be, church, what hope is to be, I see a church that is full of power and full of presence that prophesies and declares the wonders of God. Even in the midst of great difficulties, even in the midst of the world being in turmoil, that the church stands firmly and declares the wonders of God. The greatness of God. I see a church that has been so marked by him in encounter, that has so encountered him, that no matter what comes, we declare with boldness the greatness and the goodness of God. That in the midst of whatever is going on, that our lives are released out of an encounter, that what God does in me, then he does through me. Why do we take the time that we do in worship? Guys, Holy Spirit this morning began to just fill my heart up. He wants to rest on us so that we can release his heart. They encounter the Holy Spirit in such a dramatic way that they literally were changed in a moment. You think about this Holy Spirit filling ordinary people that before their encounter were cowards. That before their encounter, they were betrayers, they were murderers. I mean, story after story, they encounter him. Holy Spirit fills them and rests upon them, and it changes everything, and they turn the world upside down through the power of the Spirit. This is the church that I see. I believe that the threats and the pressures and the opposition that we face and have been facing right now are an invitation to a place of greater encounter. A greater place of demonstration of power upon the church. That the threats are not to cause us to be fearful and shrink back. The threats are to cause us to become even more bold. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Not backing off or trying to fight in the flesh, but actually to be full of the Spirit, where we release the presence of God in the midst of the threats, in the midst of the difficulties, that we don't shrink back. We actually rise up and declare who he is. Church, this will never come through the government. This will come through the church of Jesus Christ. We must never look to the government to do what the church can only do. And that is what I believe that he's bringing us back to, the foundation of what happened on that resurrection day made everything different. And we cannot look to the systems of this world to do it. We look to Jesus, how he did it, and we get full of the Holy Ghost and release that. Come on. Now, some people might think he's all hyping us up. Hype never did a thing. I'm passionate. Your leader should be passionate. And the church should be passionate about this because it's what Jesus paid for and it's what's available to us. He's the exact representation of the Father. We know this. So he is he's the perfect picture of the Father. That he walked and he lived in the miraculous, and the miraculous is necessary. Hear this. The miraculous is necessary to see who God is clearly. It's necessary that everywhere Jesus went was an open heaven, releasing the kingdom. And he says, the same way that I was sent, you're sent. So everywhere you go, because you are the temple, you are the carrier of the presence of God, everywhere you go can be an open heaven too. Everywhere you step, every place of influence you have, literally you can open up heaven to that place and release an encounter. I see this, a church of encounter, both in this building. How many know that when we worship together and we encounter God in here, it's important? But what's equally important is that we are able to go out and release encounter wherever we go. And where I see us going in this next year is more and more and more powerful times in the presence of the Lord in this building, in this room, but it is for a purpose. It is, first of all, to love him, to be with him, but that what he does in us is actually fully released out there. That it translates into literally everyday life, where we go, that presence and that encounter changes how we see people. All of a sudden, I'm not driven with irritation. I'm driven with love because I've been so loved on in the encounter of the Lord. Where because I've experienced him so deeply that I can't help but see the world differently because of that encounter. Because the Spirit of God got a hold of me and now everything around me changes. Because when I walk out of this place, I'm carrying heaven, an open heaven. It's a church that I see both in this building and even more outside of this building. Because guess what? We spend most of our time outside of this building. We've seen incredible things. But church, we haven't seen anything yet. We've seen incredible things, but we have not seen anything yet. And if I really believe what he said, that as he was sent, so am I sent, then we know there's more. Let's never camp out around what we haven't seen. Let's pursue Jesus and what he says is possible and align with that. Let's never become people because we haven't seen this and we haven't seen that and we haven't seen this happen, that we become like accustomed to that. Let's align what he said. Let's be a learner of Jesus. Let's be a student of what he says is possible and then live our lives out of that place. Let's never align with what we're not seeing. Church, there's more. There's more. There's more. I was remembering a Wednesday night last summer when we prayed for a lady in our church named Lindsay Chase. They've moved away, but still very connected with Hope. And she had been bedridden. Many of you know this story. She'd been bedridden with cancer. There was a tumor in her stomach. She came to a Wednesday night service where we were praying, and the whole church went to prayer for her. And we literally, on this stage, about where I'm standing, watched her stomach shrink before our eyes. She hadn't been able to function for weeks. She felt she'd been in bed. I mean, she couldn't even do anything. And in that moment, her stomach actually shrunk, and she felt an immediate change that night. The next morning, she was able to get up and walk her kids to the bus station, which she hadn't been able to do that in forever. She was able to get up and do that. She went to the doctor and is now confirmed multiple times cancer-free. Multiple times, cancer-free. A year later. Church, this is what happens when we encounter Jesus. Now, there's so many other stories where we didn't see that happen, but I tell you, I am choosing to align myself with what he says is possible and say, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. I believe that we're going to come to a place where we can't keep up with the stories of what God is doing, both in this building and outside of this building, where we can't keep up with them. There's too many, because church, God is still moving. He is still moving. I see this. I want you to hear this. We've had this before in a little bit of measure, but I believe that we're going to have healing rooms. We're going to have deliverance rooms in this building where people come from all over because they know that they will meet God here, because there is a people in this place that believes what God said that we could do. And they come and they're healed and they're restored and they're delivered. I believe people are going to come to those rooms and deliverance is going to happen. People are going to be set free. And the word of Jesus, the greatness of Jesus will spread. And we'll say, we got to come. Not to build up our church, but to say there's a people at Hope Church that really believe that encountering Jesus changes everything. Really believe that he changes everything when we encounter him. I believe that outside of this building, that people that you're going to see in everyday life, where you are going to just stop and you're going to say a word and they're healed. Set free. The same way the Father sent Jesus, he sends us The kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, includes supernatural encounters, signs and wonders accompanying those who believe. The second word that I are you with me this morning? You good? You know what? I feel like we should just sing for a minute. Can we just lift up our hands all over this room right now? Just say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yeah. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. In Jesus' name. Just even pray right now for that these words would not be just natural, but they would be spirit and they'd be life. Just pray for an awakening, a fresh awakening all over us today, because you're calling us to something. You're sending us to something. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The second word that I'll share with you just for a minute is equip. And I believe that this is a big one for us this year. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4 is a familiar passage to us in this house. But with verse 11, we'll start. It's talking about the fivefold ministry in operation. Verse 11 says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip the church for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. How many would say maturity is good? Maturity is good. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are growing up in every way. How many would say growing up in every way is a good thing for the church? Growing up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, get this, each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Come on, the body growing by that which every joint supplies. When I look at what God is leading us into in the future, we've had some of this, but I see a church where each part is working properly, making the body grow. And I think sometimes we think about that, about the building, like, oh, we need ushers and we need greeters or kids workers. We do need those things. But I actually believe that the fivefold ministry is to equip the church for works of ministry outside of the building, so that we are equipped to bring the goodness of Jesus wherever we go. What a vision, right? What a vision for the church. It's not just one pastor on a stage equipping the church once a week for 40 or 50 minutes. It's the fivefold ministry equipping and building up the church. Just so you know, this is the vision, and it's my vision too. I'm not the only one preaching here. How many say, thank you, Jesus? I'm not the only one preaching. I'm not the only one teaching. It's why we've shifted to a teaching team, and that's just the beginning. When did we think that the lead pastor had to preach every service? I believe that God has called me actually to carry the vision and the leadership of this house, but that includes putting the right people in the right places so that the body is equipped and we're able to go and release what God called us to release. That's my heart. That's my heart. Sunday mornings is just one part of how the church is to be equipped and come to maturity. Guys, I want to tell you, the dream is big because his dream is big. And I believe that we are to be an equipping center for the purposes of the mission of the kingdom of God. We are not just a spectator Sunday morning church in Springfield, Missouri. We are going to be an equipping center that literally releases people all over the place. Not just to build a bigger building, but equipping the church for works of ministry outside of the building, sending people across the street and sending people across the world who are equipped. Equipped to bring the kingdom, equipping the church to disciple our families, equipping the church to disciple our city. Do we have a vision to disciple the city? Do we have a vision to disciple the nations? Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about this. He said, he's building his church. He told us our job is to make disciples. He's building the church. Our role is to make disciples. It's the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. It was his last instruction that he gave before he ascended. Make disciples, and out of doing that, you'll build the church. I heard somebody say that when you make disciples, the church grows. When you try and build a church, you don't always have disciples. And we see this, right? Think about this. Jesus models, his model for seeing heaven come to earth and seeing the kingdom of God advance and for seeing people come to salvation in him was discipleship. That's the whole thing. Jesus making disciples, them getting baptized in the Spirit is what changed the world. He spent the majority of his ministry with 12 people, right? He ministered to countless people wherever he went, but he focused on the 12. For the few years that he had, he said they were the ones that the Father had given him. John 17, do you remember that? He said, these the Father has given me. His focus was pouring into the ones that the Father had given him. This is how he was sent. And then he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. This isn't a new thing. Guys, my heart is burning for this, for us to actually do what we were called to do and be what we were called to be. There's been a level of this discipleship happen here, but church, I gotta tell you, there's more. Because it's our mandate from heaven. Make disciples who have a vision to bring the reality of heaven to earth. Now, I feel like my words are falling flat, but I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit on them today. How many know that that's important? I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is releasing this right now. And over the last years, the last year, really the last months, especially, we've been praying, we've been listening, we've been asking the Lord, how do we do this? How do we do what you've asked us to do? And I believe that right now we're actually at the beginning of the beginning of it. And what we've been hearing as we've been praying is that it's going to look like family. That this discipleship, what he's called us to do, is going to look like family. That it's going to look like Spirit-filled kingdom Jesus family. It's going to look like spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers in the body of Christ, growing spiritual families all over the city and beyond. It's not going to be a program, but it's going to be a culture of discipleship that is rooted in family. 8 pastors cannot disciple 1,000 people. It isn't made to happen that way. And the systems that we've set up in place have set us up for failure with this. It wasn't designed that way. Jesus discipled 12. There are countless people, hear me on this, in the body of Christ who've attended church their whole lives and have never come to maturity. Have never become disciples of Jesus Christ. And they might have been in every single service for the last 25 years. that have never had a spiritual mother, who've never had a spiritual father who would say, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I'm committed in relationship with you. I'm committed to love you. I'm committed to show you who he is. And I'm committed to see you become who he says you are. Committed to hold you accountable to the greatness on your life. Do you know that when there isn't discipleship, you hear a message that might challenge you on a Sunday morning, but when you walk out of here, who's helping you be accountable to it? We see this even in our church, guys. Hear me on this. I say this with love. People who've been part of our church for a long time, we see this. Sometimes people go off the rails doing crazy stuff. Why? Because they've just been church attenders. They've never really become disciples of Jesus Christ because they've been living a consumer Christianity but never been challenged day to day to be discipled, to walk in maturity and bear the fruit of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we think it's going to change just by doing more services. It won't. Services are important. Sunday morning, though, is just a piece of the pie. Have you ever heard a pastor say this? Come back next Sunday, okay? It's important. I want to welcome everybody who hasn't been around to come back too. This is important Sunday morning, but it is just a piece of the pie. There have been programs, and there's been some fruit, but church, Jesus didn't do a program. He gave himself to the ones the Father gave him. He committed himself. He poured his life into them. He believed in them and called them to their truest identity and invited them to do all that he did, even when they were knuckleheads. Have you ever met a knucklehead? Have you ever been one? Of course you have. We've all been knuckleheads, right? But here's the dream. And Charity, you can come and start playing. We've got to close in a minute. Here's the dream. I want you to just imagine with me right now. I want you to see what I'm seeing. I see the church of Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit, sent as Jesus was sent, discipling our families, discipling our city and our region and beyond. Can you imagine what would happen when anybody who walks through these doors looking for hope and looking for Jesus, that they find him, and not only do they find him in an encounter here, they're actually put into family and are discipled. We pray. I think that deserves a bit of a clap. Listen, we prayed for so many people to receive the Lord over the years. We pray with people that have been delivered, saved, healed. I mean, all the things. They have an encounter in this room. But can you imagine right after they get saved and they get healed and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit that they get put into a family and are discipled? Come on. I mean, really, think about it. Can you imagine as the harvest of souls that we know is going to happen and come when new believers are not put into a program or just told to come on Sunday mornings and have a great rest of the week, but they're actually placed in a family? That was worth a kick. They're actually put in a family. With spiritual fathers and mothers who are going to help them grow in the faith. And get this, spiritual mom and dad, it has nothing to do with age. I've known incredible spiritual mothers and fathers that carry the heart of the Father who are in their 20s. You don't have to be old to be a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad. But I see this where people that are in our own church are struggling and they need help navigating through the craziness of life. And can you imagine when they don't just come in a service and say hi to a few people or go out to lunch, but they're actually put into a family with somebody that's further along than them, that they're going to love them and they're going to challenge them and they're going to show them the way? The body grows by that which every joint supplies. When all the joints are in the right place and they're equipped, they supply, and the kingdom of heaven is advanced. I see this. How about this? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you about your neighbor? Like actually your physical neighbor. I know we don't talk to our neighbors anymore in our culture. Can you imagine when he starts speaking to you about your neighbor or that person at work? Or that random acquaintance, and the Father says, I'm giving them to you. And because you're actually believing that you were sent, that you're receptive to hear, and he says, I'm giving them to you. And because you are equipped, and because you are confident in your equipping and in the power of the Spirit, you actually see your life as being sent by Jesus, that you actually invite them into your spiritual family, and they come to faith and not only say a prayer, but they actually come to maturity. They actually come to maturity in the faith, and the kingdom expands, and then they go and they make disciples. Church, come on, this is the church I see. The days of looking to people on a stage to be the super Christians are over. They were never supposed to be. It was always about the body of Christ being equipped to release the presence of God, to release an encounter, and then commit yourself to people in covenant relationship to see them become who they were made to become. I'm passionate about this. We can pray forever, oh, the harvest of souls, but if we're not ready for them, what is it worth? A program isn't going to do it. They're going to need you and you and you and you. And we got to stop thinking that we're not good enough, or we don't have enough, or we're not smart enough. Church, I want to tell you, the gospel is empowering. That's the third E. It's empowering. The gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's anything, it's empowering. If you've been walking with the Lord for a few days, you got more in you than the person that doesn't know the Lord. See, somehow we've started to believe that you've got to kind of get to this place, to this place, to this place, and then somehow you can do something significant for the Lord. No, there is no junior Holy Spirit, right? Spirit of God, when he fills you, he's in you, and if you'll open up to him, you've got something to offer. I mean, think about this with Jesus, with the 12, he sends them out in Luke chapter 9. He sends them out to do what he's been doing, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the good news. They go out. The next chapter, he sends out the 72. They go out and they come back and they're like, even the demons respond to us in your name. It's like they're surprised. Church, they started doing that only a few months into following Jesus. Somehow we've created this thing where you got to wait forever to do something significant. I want to tell you today, you are called to do something significant right now. Come on, stand with me this morning. I got to wrap this up. This is where we're going as a church, guys. We're going to invest significantly. We've already started this investment right now, but we're going to start at the beginning of this coming year in equipping the church for disciple making, for works of ministry, both in the building, but even more for out of the building, where you're going to be equipped to bring the kingdom of God wherever you go, and you're going to be confident in the place that he's given you influence. Guess what? The place you have influence has been given to you for a kingdom purpose. Don't underestimate the place of influence that you've been given. You've been given it for a reason. It just might be time to activate. It just might be time to activate. It might be time to actually awaken. I actually believe that right now, in fact, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray this over you right now, just as a posture of receiving. I speak an activation of your faith today in Jesus' name. I see you waking up tomorrow, going to places that you go to every day, and all of a sudden everything looks different. Everyone looks different because now you are walking from the place that as the Father sent Jesus, he's sending you. Come on, if you pray in the Spirit, just go ahead and pray in the Spirit right now. Can we just call out in the name of the Lord right now? Come on, come and rest on your church. Come and rest on your church. Come on, church, can we just lift our voices and ask him to come and rest on us? Come on, Holy Spirit.